I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Virginia Tech Montgomery Executive Airport in Blacksburg, Virginia. The regional airport is a vital conduit to the cutting-edge research and innovation that takes place at Virginia Tech and nearby technology and manufacturing companies. The airport is conveniently located adjacent to the Virginia Tech campus and just steps away from the Virginia Tech Corporate Research Center. The airport facilitates a number of business activities, including aerial inspections, photography, surveying, agricultural spraying, emergency medical aviation, and flight training. It also serves as a gateway for business and political leaders, law enforcement, public charters, Virginia Tech athletics, recreational flying, and rescue flights. The range of traffic through the airport, from business, academic, to recreational and more, is a metaphor for the New River Valley's dynamic economic ecosystem. A recent runway expansion to 5,500 feet allows the airport to now accommodate roughly 72% of the business jet fleet operating in today's market, including Citation, Bombardier, Challenger, and Gulfstream jets. Come along and join Keith Holt, Executive Director at the airport, to discover the rest of the story. Here we are at the Virginia Tech Montgomery Executive Airport, and we're with Keith Holt.
Hello, and welcome to the Virginia Tech Montgomery Executive Airport in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Almost too beautiful to be an airport.
Such a beautiful mountainous setting right here, really close to Virginia Tech's campus in the heart of Blacksburg and Montgomery County.
So on the one level, you have executive aircraft that are based here, right?
We do, yes. We have a couple Citation jets, some companies of which that are vital to our region and in our area. We have a number of personally owned aircraft. We have a couple flight instructors here on the field as well. For the past month and a half, we've actually been hosting a helicopter for the Forest Service, of which that is part of their forest firefighting efforts here in the region.
What type of helo?
So this one is a Bell, and it's equipped with the ability to have a water basket underneath, and then they also do fire spotting with it.
Oh, that's really cool. When did the airport first open? Is it World War II era?
Yeah, so the airport has a really rich and deep history. So dating back to World War II, this airport was actually used as a training platform and a training area for both pilots and aircraft mechanics. We had a very large presence of a program of which that trained a lot of aircraft mechanics that went on to fight in the war efforts.
Interesting. Any glider training here?
We don't here directly at the airport. We do have in Newcastle, Virginia, there is a glider port over there. So we do have a lot of gliding in the region. And the mountain waves make this area a real good opportunity for gliding.
You guys are visionaries. You're looking forward. You're working into the future.
You know, all airports are a really strong economic contributor to their localities and the regions of which that they serve. This airport is no different, and something of which that part of that, you have to stay on the cutting edge. What is going on in your community? What's going on with business? How you can better serve that? We recently extended our runway to 5,500 feet, which allowed us to capture more corporate jet. Being able to do that extension, been able to accommodate a few of our smaller sports charter teams, of which that 30 seats or less, have been able to fly into the airport now, which has been significant. But we're also preparing for the future in that we also now have an electric charging station for electric aircraft.
Interesting. Today, here and now, how common are electric aircraft? This is kind of a new iteration, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed, new technology. We had our very first electric aircraft take off and land here this February. It was actually on Valentine's Day, so we were feeling the love. So that was the first electric aircraft to which that we had land, take off, take a charge, and then take back off.
Interesting. Is this single prop?
This is in this configuration for this particular aircraft. It is a single propeller. It's larger than you would probably have typically expected. It's set up and designed to be able to hold potentially 2 to 3 pallets of freight in the future. So it is a little bit on the larger side, certainly not on the corporate jet side.
Like a FedEx.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're here in a university town.
Yes.
It's kind of a brain trust over there. And you guys are partnering with them on different projects.
Yeah, certainly. You know, the university is one of our four members of our airport authority. So we have the university. We also have town of Christiansburg, Montgomery County, and the town of Blacksburg. So as one of our four localities that are directly involved in the day-to-day operations of the airport and the management and oversight of the airport, the university tie has a lot going for it.
So is there ongoing brain trust sessions where you guys get together and dreamers?
Yeah. So right now, the airport itself is in the very beginning phases of our master plan update. That master plan update will lead us through for the next 10 to 20 years as to how we will build out and what we will do and what the airport will look like going into the future.
Well, your runway length, literally, you can bring in a small 737 here. You could.
Yeah. So the runway length is really vital and important to the overall health and economic growth of an airport and the community of which that it serves. We had a lot of airplanes previously of which that while they were able to come to the airport, were not able to take on a full load of fuel in order to part out because the additional fuel adds weight. The additional weight adds to a longer takeoff roll. And so for us, we saw that as an opportunity that we were potentially missing out on fuel sales. And so with the extension of our runway in the last 14 months, we've seen our fuel sales almost double.
Interesting. All because of?
All because of they're able to take on more fuel. We're able to sell it to them.
Fuel to take off.
Yes, indeed.
So going forward, is this a regional airport by default?
So by default, it is a regional airport. So as a regional airport, we serve multiple communities, not just one area and one jurisdiction. So while we don't have airline service here at the airport, we do provide a very vital and important role within our community.
Maybe it's naivete on my part, but looking in from the outside, I go, oh my God, what a natural to have a United RJ or American RJ come in and serve this university town. How convenient would that be?
The convenience factor you have to also consider as to what additional requirements is would be brought upon in order to provide airline service at a community like this. We don't have an area for TSA. We don't have a separate area for baggage handling. We don't have a dedicated fire department of which that is on site. All of those would be federal requirements in order to serve an airline such as that. A community like ours with our business jets and our business traffic. Right now, our business executives of which that are coming to the airport in order to do business within the community can directly step off the plane. Nine times out of 10, we can have their rental car directly plane side to them. Wow. It's a huge white glove service. It's very convenient.
That's really cool. Okay, that's another dynamic that somebody told me about that you guys are up to, and that has to do with drone technology and partnering with the university or with Google and Wing.
So this area and this university in particular, we have the Mid-Atlantic Aviation Partnership as part of the university, and they have been on the cutting edge of drone technology since really its inception. They are an FAA-approved test site. The things of which that they do has really helped to lead drone technology, drone development, and also the regulatory side of drones and their application. With them being so close, it's been a very natural connection for us and them to be able to collaborate. One of the things of which that this region has, just down the street from the airport, Google and Google Wing operating in Christiansburg, Virginia, they have a drone delivery service that has been operating there for a number of years. They're roughly about 3 miles from the runway end here at the Virginia Tech Airport, operate completely autonomous, doing package delivery.
This is myth, legend, and lore, but I heard about a burrito drop.
They've done burritos. They've recently partnered with a few other businesses and fast food restaurants in order to offer services and direct delivery services in their service area in Christiansburg. It really is the wave of the future. We're probably just at the tip of the iceberg.
Any visions, dreaming going forward where drone technology goes?
You know, there's so many different applications of which the drone technology can go to. You think about the medical field with regards to being able to transport vital medical equipment and or medicines to patients of which that would need that. You also look at the ability from the consumer side of things, such as, you know, will this be a way of which that we will receive packages in the future? Very likely of which that they will be incorporated in some way, shape, or form. But then if you also think about that drones and drone applications on a larger scale, as we begin to scale up drones, the ability for them to be able to carry more will certainly lead to more innovations. There's been a lot of drone applications. You know, Virginia Tech has a very strong ag department. There's been a lot of applications on the agriculture side as far as site development, as far as with regards to crops and crop health. We see that quite frequently as well.
Interesting. As you go forward, there's that inevitable air traffic control dynamic of a drone. And are there going to be rules and regs that everybody has to be FAA certified to be a drone pilot?
Currently, actually, that is a regulation of which that you do have to have an FAA certification for a drone pilot to be a drone pilot. That is one of the things that the rules with regards to air traffic control are ever evolving, of which the federal government continues to take a strong look at. Obviously, safety is paramount, and the ability for what they refer to in the drone world, for a drone to either see and avoid or sense and avoid
exactly.
other aircraft
exactly.
Is extremely critical.
And mystifying in my brain. I mean, if you fly, see and be seen,
yep.
how is the drone seeing?
Yeah, so if you think about it from just even modern technologies of which that we have in our vehicles now, with lane departure type systems, blind spot warning systems, all of which that things of which that the consumer we are now very used to in a modern day vehicle and car. Well, similar type of technologies being incorporated into drones to be able to sense the presence of another vehicle, or in this case an aircraft, to be able to see it, and then also to use some of the same air traffic control technologies of which that already exist, such as ADS-B, of which that broadcasts the
Explain
positions.
That.
So ADS-B is a broadcast system of which that displays and broadcasts a very specific location, altitude, speed, and at the heading of an aircraft. And this is a broadcast system of which that is modernizing air traffic control. And by being able to receive that type of data, as far as what other aircraft are out there, what altitude it's at, what heading it's going, and what speed it's going, it can then help to deconflict from other aircraft, or in this case, potentially a drone.
And it seems to me even the starting point, takeoff and landing of drones, is there a limitation to where they can take off and land with wings in the town?
So wing has a very specific landing and takeoff pad or location. They have pretty much an entire complex or setup just for their operations. And then they have a very specific geographical area of which that they have as their operating area. And then on top of that, they have a very complex air traffic control system of which that deconflicts their drones from each other and is able to sense as far as if a drone is out of its parameters and where it can safely land, essentially through, think of it like advanced mapping and mapping software, is able to find its safest location to do its package delivery.
That's really interesting. And it seems to me the package delivery, it's a little amorphous. You know, how do they make it a safe place to land the package?
In this case, it's actually lowered from a tether. So the drone stays at an altitude, and then the package is lowered down by a tethered string.
And then it releases on its
then
own?
Then it's released.
So
That's
you
correct.
Don't have to be home to get your burrito?
Potentially not, unless you want a hot burrito, which I would strongly suggest.
A little bit more about visionary stuff, your partnerships, and your brain trust with the university.
So on a regular routine basis, I've worked closely with a lot of different classes at the university, such as architecture classes, of which that we've looked at building and building designs, several engineering classes, of which that we've talked about, and right now we're talking about with one of the engineering classes, some noise and noise modeling techniques used at airports.
You're right in town, basically.
Yeah, we absolutely are.
So sound mitigation would seem critical.
Noise is always a perception, and it's something of which that airports have strived to be good neighbors. We want to be good neighbors. We don't want to disrupt our communities of which that we serve. And we want to be a good neighbor. Noise is one of those things of which that the industry is always continuing to find ways to make improvements. Honestly, the industry has made significant improvements over the years.
Well, even the aircraft themselves.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Quiet.
You know, back in the 70s and 80s and 90s when we began to talk about putting hush kits on airplanes, mm-hmm. which was essentially an engine modification of which that they would make to some of those really noisy jets.
Well, I know at that time in San Jose Airport, they had a takeoff pattern called the San Jose Corkscrew.
Because you had to spiraled right above the airport
to get away from the houses as quick as you can.
Yeah,
and they don't do the corkscrew anymore.
No. And one of the pros and cons around an airport is airports. Vibrant airports usually bring very strong communities with them. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that means the communities grow up really close to the airport. Here in town, this airport has roughly about 230 acres right here in the middle of the town of Blacksburg. In most other communities, you have a large swath of land like that, and it is certainly being looked at as far as redevelopment potential and opportunity.
Very, very interesting. Anything you'd like to share we haven't thought about?
So it's really interesting. Oftentimes when you think of a regional airport or general aviation airport and you see the corporate jets landing, you immediately always think of the standpoint, oh, that must be the CEO. Actually, we find that that's generally not the case. Most of the folks of which that are traveling on the corporate jets are usually mid-level managers. They're the actual workers of which that are getting the work done day-to-day, site visits, site tours. Even during some of the strong, we've had a lot of construction in the area. I've even seen some companies of which that have flown in their specialty tradespeople in order to come to the area on Monday, and they'll pick them back up on Thursday, have them work during the week, especially some of their specialty electrician, specialty trade folks.
Where I live, it's a regional airport and there's Pacific Gas and Electric, and they bring in a big private jet. And I always thought it was CEOs. And they go, no, these are the guys working on the nuclear power plant, the workmen.
Absolutely. It's refreshing to see a corporate jet of which that lands and you see nothing but work boots coming off of it.
Let's dig a little deeper in the airport.
Yeah, so the airport is one of those connections to the community of which that we serve. You know, we see general aviation pilots frequently that are looking for destinations to go to, and then as well as the executives of which that come in on corporate planes are looking to extend their stay. Here at the Virginia Tech Montgomery Executive Airport, we have a lot of ties and connections to tourism. A lot of that might be due to our proximity to the Appalachian Trail. Due to our proximity, there's a very vibrant hiking network throughout the region. I've even seen people of which that have brought their own mountain bikes in order to go mountain biking, of which that have taken off and brought their mountain bikes in the back of their airplanes before.
That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one more, I just have to reiterate my vision. As this area grows, my instinct is it's inevitable that you're going to have regional jet service, commercial.
You know, as the region grows and the community grows, the airport will also have to continue to grow. You know, that will be at some point in time looked at and discussed and potentially inevitable as the community grows.
And again, a naive thinking, but it's just my instinct is that it's environmentally efficient to have a spoke and hub system.
You know, absolutely. It's worked well for a number of years. Our nearest commercial service airport is the Roanoke Airport, of which that they are about a 50-minute car drive from here. They generally serve to Charlotte as well as Atlanta through their hub-and-spoke network, of which that does operate very efficiently.
Okay. Well, last chance. Anything you're holding back you want to share? Now's the time.
So, you know, I've been at this airport for a couple years now, lived in this community since 2006. You know, one of the things I can tell you about this community, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to do here in this region, in this area. Easily gained a good 30 pounds just from living in this area, just because of all the good places to eat, all the fantastic food of which that we have. We have a few vibrant downtown areas between Blacksburg and Christiansburg, several great restaurants and eateries, easily accessible from the airport.
We can get a burrito drone drop.
You could get a burrito drone drop out right to you in Christiansburg. So yeah, absolutely. There's a lot going on in this area, in this community. It's a wonderful place to visit and live.
To learn more about your world, where would your go-to place be?
Yeah, so our website is vtmea.com. So that stands for Virginia Tech Montgomery Executive Airport.com. You can find us there or on Facebook.
Keith Holt, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Appreciate having you out to the airport.
Yeah, let's go on a check ride.
Let's do that.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Virginia at the Virginia Tech Montgomery Executive Airport. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.